Welcome to The Wonder, exploring perspectives, rituals, and observances of modern, naturalistic, earth-revering, pagan religious paths. Here are your hosts, Yucca and Mark.
Welcome back to The Wonder, science-based paganism. I'm one of your hosts, Yucca.
And I'm the other one, Mark. And this week, we are going to talk about working with the shadow aspect.
That's right. So we'll start by talking about what does that actually mean, and then get into how to recognize it and what to do with it once you do.
Right, right. This is a frequent topic of conversation in my experience within the within pagan circles, certainly. Mm-hmm. And
we also got a few requests. We've had actually multiple requests to talk about this topic.
We have.
Yeah.
And some of those requests were quite a while ago. So it's taken us a while to get around to this. We deliberately put it off until the Hallows-y time of the year when we deal with stuff like mortality and decomposition and other things that are a little bit harder for people to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's been a while, but now we're doing it.
Yep. Yeah, so let's talk about what it actually means, right? Or what do people mean when they say shadow work?
Yeah, and that is complicated because it really is a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that term used to mean a lot of different things, mm-hmm. but when I go and look for technical definitions within the frame of psychology, there are basically two.
Mm-hmm.
The first is everything in your unconscious, everything that you're unaware of about yourself.
And that's Jung, right? That's his.
That's yeah. Jung's. That was Jung's approach to it. His perspective was that our personalities have these different components, and that some of those components are not visible to us. It's not that they cannot become visible to us. It's that they are not visible to us either because we simply have blind spots to them or because we've chosen at some level not to look at them.
So this is sort of the whole of the unconscious.
That's right. The whole thing, everything going on. And so he would approach the shadow with interpretation of dreams,
mm-hmm.
and other sorts of imaginative responses, like responses to Rorschach blots, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do people, maybe people don't know what those are. They're those ink blots where mm-hmm. they put ink and then unfold the ink and it makes pictures that look like butterflies or whatever you see in them, right?
But it's supposed to be what you see tells something about you, right? Do you see that it's the, you know, old mother beating a dog with a stick, or does it look like a little child smelling a flower, right? And that's supposed to say right. something about your internal state or personality.
Exactly. And we'll talk more about what some of those techniques might be later on in the podcast. The other definition that is frequently used for shadow work is psychological processing and growth, specifically about an aspect of the unconscious, not the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
but just an identified part of us that is less visible to us, that we feel a need to heal or transform or bring more into conscious visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And those processes are what is called shadow work.
Right. So those would be the things that are in the shadow, or that when you shine a light, right? Let's say you've got a flashlight or a torch and you're looking at yourself with it. What is behind what you're seeing? What's still there, but it's part of the shadow that you can't see.
Right. And this is the time when we should make the point, which we did in our episode entitled The Darkness,
mm-hmm.
that when we're talking about shadow and darkness and stuff like that, we are not saying bad.
Yeah.
We're not going to play that game around equating blackness with badness, which is a racist trope, and there's mm-hmm. no reason for it.
Yeah.
Shadow aspects can be positive things. it's just that you're not aware of them, or you're in denial about looking at them. And there are reasons why people deny things about themselves that are actually quite positive, that are tied up with their self-esteem and their own, you know, personal injury and all that kind of stuff. So just want to make that point, that when we talk about working in the shadow, we're not making value judgments about what those qualities are that are in the shadow for you or for anyone else.
Yeah.
It just means hidden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes those things will be things that we are, that, like you were saying, that we're going to associate as being positive things. Oftentimes they're going to be things that we don't associate as being positive things.
Right. 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 And there are good psychological reasons for that, right? I mean, it's healthy to have healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And so a healthy mind will tend to turn towards reasons to have healthy self-esteem and away from reasons not to have healthy self-esteem. On the other hand, people who struggle with self-esteem might be more gravitated to look at more negative qualities that they have and more unable to see positive qualities that they have. So it really just kind of depends on where you're shining the flashlight, and each one of us is different in that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go ahead and get into how we might identify these shadow qualities or parts of ourselves?
Sure. Well, this is the tricky part, right? If it's hidden, how do you find it?
Yeah. How do you know that it's hidden in the first place?
Right. Right. In my experience, it's kind of like sonar with submarines.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to send out these signals and see what kind of pings come back to you
mm-hmm.
in order to figure out what's going on. I mean, I use tarot cards quite a bit in seeking to understand stuff that I may not be very conscious about,
mm-hmm.
because in that complex symbol set, I will then construct a narrative about what the card means. And that narrative tells me something about myself.
Yeah.
It tells me that I have a particular perspective on things. If the card imagery is radically different from what my internal narrative is about something, that may spur me then to look at it in a different way and go, oh, well, I hadn't really thought about it that way, but now that I think about it, that kind of makes some sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that sort of, oh yeah, I kind of recognize this feeling that helps when you're seeking to identify shadow aspects of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that same line, it seems like other forms of divination could be really helpful as well, whatever mm-hmm. someone's particular preference is, what they like working with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And dream interpretation, which Jung was big on,
mm-hmm.
it isn't so much what the dream is, it's what it means to you, what story you create out of the images of the dream.
Sure.
That once again is an expression of your own psychology, your own personality.
Right. Because as we've talked about so many times before, that what one person's association with something that might not match somebody else's, and it probably isn't. Right. And we could use really extreme examples of, say, a dog. Well, if somebody has had their beloved dog who just died, that they had for 18 years, they're going to have a different connection with that symbol than somebody who, you know, doesn't particularly like dogs and got chased as one when they were, you know, 9.
Right.
So they're going to have, and that's what, on a really extreme level, but we can do colors and scents and all of those things that people are just going to feel different about. It's going to mean something different in your mind than it would for someone else.
Right. And this is why those dream interpretation guides are not useful, in my opinion. I don't think they really mean anything.
At least when they give a key, like, oh, water right. means this or this.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, learning techniques for dream interpretation so that you know how to remember your dreams and then create that narrative that illustrates the subconscious meaning to you, that can be very useful. it's when the book tries to tell you the narrative itself, mm-hmm. instead of it coming from you, that I don't think it's very helpful.
Yeah. So a tool, so two tools that we can mention already is, so something like tarot or other form of divination, and also a dream journal.
Mm-hmm.
For many of us, we forget dreams pretty quickly. They're there for a few moments after we, yeah, me too, right? So I said, yeah. Mark, you just raised your hand. I'm the same way. They're there for a few minutes, and then they kind of, then they're sort of gone. And there was, and then there's maybe just some feelings left, and then,
mm-hmm.
and then those are gone too.
And that is that liminal moment when you're between the sleeping state and the waking state is a place where the subconscious really can leak through,
mm-hmm.
where you can see highly stylized illustrations of what's going on under the hood with you, whether it's fears and anxieties, or whether it's hopes and aspirations, or whether it's frustrations around creativity that's not being expressed, or whatever that might happen to be. So being able to capture that imagery, and then particularly to look for patterns over time,
mm-hmm.
is very, very helpful, because one dream is still only one data point. But if you have recurring sort of themes of emotional tones or symbols that occur in your dreams, that's going to be a pretty good indication that you're talking about something that's in your shadow.
Mm-hmm. Or even plot. People dream differently, but is there a particular plot that is repeated over and over again in different circumstances with mm-hmm. different people or different symbols, but it's the same basic story. I mean, classic ones, you know, the going to work or school without your pants on, or the flying, right. things like that. Those are, but like, is there something really unique to you where you're always the person in the back seat of the car or mm-hmm. whatever it is?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so this piece, I believe this is the most challenging part of shadow work. Although from an emotional standpoint, once you confront something that you have suppressed for some reason, or, you know, have a hard time looking at, positive or negative, it can be a lot of emotional processing work to get more comfortable with that aspect of yourself. But figuring out what it is, because the subconscious is so ephemeral and elusive, can really be the hardest part of the work.
Mm-hmm.
People do other techniques. Some people just contemplate a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at yourself in the mirror for a long time. What do you see? Because after a while, what's strange about doing work with a mirror is after a while, you don't look familiar anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through a transformation where you start to see this as another person rather than yourself. And then all of the systemic capacities that we have for figuring out a person's personality start to kick in. Well, what can I tell about this person? Mm-hmm. What are they like? How long is their fuse in terms of their temper? Are they generally happy? How do they feel about me? Okay. So you may see things in yourself that you weren't aware of, and now that you can address, because you've used your capacity to read nonverbal communications cues in order to understand those shadow aspects of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to jump back to where we were before, because I love the mirror idea, but also mention, when we were talking about how the hard work really comes in, trying to figure out what it all means, right? Talking about dreams, mm-hmm. or what you look at. And there may not be one meaning, right? We are really quite multifaceted. It can be multiple things at once.
Yes. And
so if you're finding a meaning, then great. Like, you don't need to worry about it being the absolute right, you know, capital T truth meaning. you know, you can work with what you're finding, and then you can come back to the same thing later and from a different perspective at a different time, take a look at that and follow it where it takes you again.
Yes. The thing to look for is that deep resonance in yourself, which says, oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to yourself, you will be able to recognize the things that are true about yourself. When they're brought into your conscious mind and you contemplate them, you know, I am a person who is kind of this way. There will be this bell that'll ring in your chest where you'll realize, yes, that's true about me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I feel about that? How do I want to work with that? Is that something that I'm comfortable with? Do I want to evolve that into something else? All of those are pieces of what we call shadow work.
Yeah.
The last major technique that I can think of, and often the hardest one to read, is what are my repeated experiences in life?
Mm.
If I keep having the same kind of interaction with people over and over again in different contexts, the only common denominator there is me.
Yeah.
And so it becomes important, I think, for me to start to ask the question, well, what is it about me that may have contributed to that? And I don't mean this in a blame the victim kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that at all, because people can experience various kinds of abuse undeservedly and having not brought it on themselves at all. But if there is that kind of repeated pattern in your life, it's worth at least asking the question, was there some way that I was inviting that? Was there some way that I was provoking that? Mm-hmm. And maybe the answer is no, and that's fine. But maybe the answer isn't no. And that, so it's at least worth asking the question.
Right. Yeah. And if the answer isn't no, there's something to be excited about there, because that means there's something you have to work on that you can do. Right.
Yes.
That's, there's a little bit of empowerment there. Okay.
Right.
So yeah, what was it? And maybe it hurts. Maybe it's really, really painful to look at what that is, but then, you know, then you can right. take those steps and go, okay, this is the case. What do I need to do? What can I change so that I don't have to go through this again, or
right.
not, right. not in the same way or not as strong anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the big challenge in confronting many of the negative things that we might find in the shadow, because I want to say again, there can be very positive aspects to a person. Like, you know, if someone is a very generous person, for example, and they're very, very giving throughout their lives, and that's just like the water they swim through as a fish, that mm-hmm. they're just used to it. They don't pay much attention to it. And they kind of shy away from thinking of themselves as a generous person. That could be a shadow aspect. It could be something that you would come to pay more attention to view and to embrace as a part of your self-understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of things that are not positives, the big impediment in my experience is shame.
Mm.
Because it's embarrassing
mm-hmm.
to discover something about yourself that isn't perfect, right? I mean, I tend to be a perfectionist, but I think that a lot of people do in terms of their expectations for themselves. It becomes embarrassing to realize, oh, the way I treated that person, that could have been better. That doesn't reflect the person that I want to think of myself as being. And I cannot overemphasize this. We're all works in progress. Everybody is growing throughout their lives. If they're not growing, they're dead.
Yeah.
And that means that even if you've made mistakes, even if you've had aspects of yourself that really caused problems or hurt other people,
mm-hmm.
shame
or yourself,
doesn't help you, or yourself, Shame doesn't help you. What helps is frank willingness to look directly at it, mm-hmm. and then enough caring about yourself to do the work to make it better.
Yeah.
And if in the process you need to make some amends for some people, well, then do that. You know, apologize to people that need an apology.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you discover stuff that means that you're in a different kind of state than you thought you were when you were having a conflict with someone or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so much in there. So the critic, and we've talked about the critic in a past episode, we mention it quite often, actually. This is a time where the critic is probably going to raise its head and have quite mm-hmm. a bit to say, right? But it can, you know, we've talked about ways to address and work with the critic, but it's important to get past that protection that the critic's trying to put up to not let you go there, not let you see that vulnerable part, because it's trying to not let you get hurt. It's trying to not let you feel that shame and all of that.
Yes.
But you've got to look at it, right? You've got to go there into the shadows to be able to see that part of yourself, because that part is real. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it still is there, and it's still part of what and who you are.
Right. And if you don't acknowledge that part, if you don't work with it, then you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Then that part of you won't evolve. It won't grow. And what that means is that you will have the results of that part of you come up again and come up again. And, you know, certainly in my life, I felt like, you know, I keep banging my head on this wall and the wall isn't going anywhere, but boy, my head hurts. You know, there comes a time when you just have to reevaluate your strategy.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about looking for those places, those repeating places in life, and, you know, looking in our dreams. There's can also just be some observation of what are the things that tend to get big responses from you.
Yes.
Right. Whether it's a really, you know, positive excitement, or if it's the thing that just really just gets you, that just bothers you, right? If you start pulling on that, it's probably attached to something. You may be able to go down and figure out, okay, what's down there? What's underneath this?
Right. Right. Yeah. Because our emotions bubble up out of a brew of many different factors and experiences. And we can learn more about that brew when we observe what the bubbles are.
Mm-hmm.
that come up into our conscious mind. At this point, I also want to put in a word for therapy.
Yes.
if you are really contending with stuff that is not working for you, and heavy applications of the critic voice without too much countervailing self-esteem or depression or anxiety, any of those things, doing the kind of work that we're talking about, and we'll talk about some ritual approaches in a bit, is not a replacement for working with a professional who can help you with those things. Right. It can be a great complement
mm-hmm.
to various professional therapeutic approaches. But I just want to say, you know, by listening to this podcast episode and going out and doing your mirror ritual and, you know, getting started, if you really have serious stuff to deal with, you probably want someone to help you through that. So
yes,
just
please
make sure that that's said.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. That's really, really important. And that's what they're there for, right? This is what they're doing with their lives, is figuring out how to help other people with these issues. Right. And just because one therapist wasn't a good fit doesn't mean that the whole concept is a bad concept. There are so many different styles and different personalities that, you know, if you tried it 2 years ago, you tried it 10 years ago and it sucked, you know, it's still worth going back and looking for somebody else that is a better fit for you, where you're at now and your personality.
Yes. And it's also worth asking the question, what did sucked mean? When you say that your therapeutic experience really sucked, was it because they put their finger on a really sore spot?
Mm-hmm.
That indicates where some of your shadow work is.
Yeah.
I mean, in some cases, it's just personalities that don't fit, or, you know, therapeutic modalities that aren't the right one for you. All of that is certainly true and possible, but it's at least worth asking the question. If I had a really strong emotional reaction to this therapist, where's that reaction coming from?
Yeah.
Now, there are a number of things that we can do as pagans, ritually, to help ourselves with our shadow work. And we actually have a time of year, this time of year, to look at that shadow stuff. The traditional way of describing it is that the veil between the worlds are thin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can choose to see the subconscious and the conscious as two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And to do the work to kind of bring forward what we can learn from our own subconscious and do ritual work that enhances that and helps us to embrace those aspects of ourselves that we haven't been aware of in the past.
Yeah.
So I go to mirror work again. I have both a regular mirror and a dark mirror, which mm-hmm. is a piece of it's a circle of tinted car glass. I got the darkest tint I possibly could, and then I painted the back black. And so what you get is this sort of ghostly reflection of yourself rather than a super vivid, bright daylight one. And that, I find that that can be a good thing to contemplate for me when I'm trying to figure out just what's going on with me. If I'm having some kind of strong emotional experience and I can't put my finger on why,
mm-hmm.
which does happen, then that's a useful tool for me. Oh, go ahead.
Well, with the mirror, if you don't have something like that, or even if you do, there's other things you can do with the lighting in the room, right? You can take your regular bathroom mirror and light it with candles.
Right.
Or use other LED lights, right? Not necessarily. I mean, you could do your flashing kind of disco thing, but with LED lights, you can get really, really inexpensive ones that you can set the color to exactly what you want it to be. So you can have this beautiful, you know, golden red if you want, or play. What is it, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror and looking with the green and then moving through the rainbow? And how does that change your perception?
That's a great idea. I never would have thought of doing that actually with the LEDs. Yeah. And if you have a very strong reaction to the idea of looking at yourself, well, that's some information. That's a data point right there. Yeah. Because at root, you know, we have this one life. We are these improbable biological machines, just astronomically improbable. We talked about this last week. The odds that any of us would exist is just this tiny, 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 tiny probability. I mean,
so tiny that we shouldn't really.
Yes.
Just, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, just
if you
boggling.
Were to round the number, it would be zero.
Yeah.
And we have this life, and it can be a beautiful life. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't have suffering in it. It doesn't mean that there aren't horrible things that happen to people. All of those things are true. But it can still be a beautiful life if we choose to be open and grow and to embrace ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can do with this shadow work is to become more comfortable with embracing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a, you know, arrogant sort of I'm better than others kind of way. That's not the point. The point is that each of us has good reason to, you know, to hold our head high
mm-hmm.
and, you know, feel like a worthy manifestation of this universe. And if you're having a hard time looking yourself in the eye in the mirror, then it's probably time to start taking a look at why.
Yeah. And maybe there's some things to do to start gently with that, right? Start mm-hmm. with, you know, okay, so working your way towards looking in the eyes, maybe starting in the dimmer light, right? If you are doing actually mirror work itself, maybe starting with looking at your hands, your body, the mm-hmm. rest of you, and becoming comfortable with that. There could be sort of internal journeys that you could go on, imagining mm-hmm. yourself as a forest and going for a mental walk through that forest and literally looking under that log and seeing mm-hmm. what do you find under that log, and literally looking around and starting to explore that so that you can get to the place eventually where you can do that, where you can look yourself in the eye.
Right. And if you can't even get there, you can write yourself a letter, right? Mm-hmm. You can write yourself a letter saying, I want to be able to look you in the eye. I want to be able to embrace who you are. And where I am right now is here. And explain where you are. Because believe me, getting that out, mm-hmm. getting that out in some kind of an expression will make a big difference. Just crafting that kind of an articulated expression about what your current psychological and emotional state is in relation to yourself can make a huge difference. And you can mail that letter mm-hmm. by burning it or by burying it. There are a lot of different, you know, things you can do. Or maybe you just, if you have an altar or a focus, you just fold it up and stick it under your altar cloth and just let it sit there. Mm. Doesn't even have to be visible, but it sets a context for the work that you do at that altar. Mm-hmm. Can't really express enough how important that is. I mean, listeners of this podcast are at all different stages of their lives. And I know that earlier in my life, you know, I didn't have very good self-esteem and I had a lot of terrible stuff going on. And it was very hard for me to look myself in the eye in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But I learned and I got better. And one of the things that helped me to do that was to do some mirror work along the way. Mm. So we would be really interested in hearing your thoughts and ideas about rituals for shadow work and any experiences that you'd be willing to share. Our email address, as always, is thewonderpodcastqs@gmail.com. So thewonderpodcastqs for questions mm-hmm. @gmail.com. And we really welcome you to drop us a line. We got a lovely email this week from Melissa, who was just so kind and suggested a bunch of cool topics, a list that we will be interrogating thoroughly. And just want to know how much we appreciate your taking your time to listen to us. We just passed our 75th episode, and we so appreciate that you choose to spend the precious moments of your life listening to what we have to say. And we really hope that you get something of value out of it. So thank you.
And thank you. And we will be back with you next week for Hallows.
Yes. The Hallows Samhain Halloween issue, which is always a lot of fun. So we'll be talking about that then. As always, it's lovely talking with you, Yucca.
Likewise, Mark.
Have a great week.